It wasn't, you know, it wasn't easy in the beginning. It wasn't easy. I stopped. What I did was, when I was going to church, to the Christian churches, I wasn't getting anything out of it. So in 2010, I just weaned myself away from church and started searching on my own, you know, searching for the truth, just searching, begging, crying, pleading, asking the Most High, if you just let me see things through your perspective, I will follow you and will not stray away from you ever, ever again. So he opened my eyes up. It wasn't on my terms, it was on his terms. And since 2010 to now, 2018, he actually spoke to me, and I know he spoke to me, because there's no person that's going to tell me to feed my sheep and endure to the end. And that's exactly what he told me. And ever since then, I've been doing it. I should do not. It's like a fire that's burning inside of me. I just want to yell it out to everybody, and I just want everyone to wake up. Wake up, please.
You're listening to Fruit Bearers, a Living Hebrew production provided by KingdomPreppers.org. I'm your host, Kingdom Prepper. This podcast will focus on the spiritual walk of those of you out there who are living the Israelite lifestyle, whether you were born Hebrew or Gentile. But more than that, it will detail how the faithful have been, or are striving to be, fruit bearers as they walk the path of righteousness toward the kingdom. We turn to our fourth guest.
My name is Sherlene H. It began, I believe, when I was no more than six. When I was very sick, I remember being very sick. And my mom and my dad had took me to the hospital, and the doctor had told me, had just got me there in time. While they didn't know what was wrong with me, I was on the table and I saw my little body. I don't know, I can't explain it, but I saw myself down on the table and I was above myself. There was one angel on the left side of me and one on the right side of me. And they wanted me to go back into my body, but I kept telling them, no, I don't want to go back down there. I want to go with them, because they were so beautiful. You know, the experience was something I really can't explain right now. But when I went back into my body, I seen things different. I was always different. My parents said, I'm different. And I wanted to know why I was different. So I was going to church, praying, asking, pleading, at very young. So I turned 12. When I turned 12, I began to search, walk, talk different, act different. And I know it was Yah. He always kept me my whole life. I strayed away at some point, and I felt him no more. I was lost. I started looking in different places, searching for the truth. Why? Why am I here? Where did I come from? Why don't we have any type of history? How did we get here? Couldn't find it nowhere. The books wasn't telling. I read the Bible, didn't understand it. Then it was shown to me. You have to walk the way I want you to walk. So going to church constantly, still not getting anything out of it. Because that's what I thought. If I go to church, I'm going to get it. I'm going to get it. I'm going to get Yah. I'm going to get Him. I'm going to follow Him. He's going to lead me. He's going to guide me. Didn't work. Still lost, confused. Didn't know right from wrong. Searching. Asking my mom. Following after other people. Lost. From the time of six to now, my life has drastically changed. I don't have friends. I used to, but since I was woken up to the truth, actually this year, 6 months to this day, I lost them. They don't want to be bothered. They think I'm crazy. Oh, you don't know what you're talking about. I was reading the scriptures, talking to the Most High, and I asked Him, I said, what is it you want me to do? And He said to me, feed my sheep and endure to the end. And that's what I've been doing. So every day I post what I learn up on social media. I cry a lot because of the truth that was hidden from us so long. So long.
Now, how did you come to this truth? You said it's been about 6 months. What led you to this truth?
What led me to the truth, I was reading the scriptures in my bedroom, and I got down on my knees. And I asked Yah, I said, please, if you let me show me things through your perspective, I will follow you and I will not stray away. I will be by you. I will do your work if you just show me what I need to see. And immediately, His spirit was poured out on me. I began to see. I could see. I was talking to my children. I could see what the Most High want me to do. I see what He wants. I see what He wants. And that's what I've been doing. I see what He wants me to do. He wants me to feed His sheep. And that's what I've been doing. I can't explain it. I just can't. But I'm trying to do my best with it.
That's a similar calling that I had from Him. I had the same kind of thing. He says, you know, feed His sheep. That's basically what this walk is about. You're not supposed to grow fat from the light that you have. You're supposed to share it so that others can wake up so we can get out of here together, you know?
Yes, yes. And that's what I've been doing. You know, I've been getting flack back from it, you know. You don't know what you're talking about. That's not my Jesus, and that's not my God, and I don't know His name, and you can keep His name, and I walk in my walk, and you walk in yours. So basically, I don't care what they say. I know what I'm doing. I'm going by what this book says. I don't add anything to it, and I don't take away nothing. However I perceive it, that's how I give it.
That's how it should be. You know, and as soon as you wake up in this walk, you're going to be persecuted by your loved ones, people in your home, much less, you know, those who are outside of what you basically know. They're going to come at you. They're going to persecute you. Yes. They're going to laugh at you, chastise you, because light cannot operate with darkness. We can't function with those who are in darkness. So, and they're not going to like what we say, and we're not going to like what they say.
I know.
The two don't go together. It's like night and day.
No, it don't. It don't.
when you basically woke up, and I know your life changed in the way that you started becoming, like, you know, persecuted and they came at you. How else did your life change? Did you start, like, listening to different things? So you stopped watching certain things, eating certain ways?
Okay. Yes, I stopped watching those satanic TV shows. I don't watch TV. I watch YouTube, and I watch all spiritual things, you know, like this guy, he called himself Seed of Israel. I watch him. I watch you. I stopped eating all this food that's no good, like pork, shrimp, lobster, crab, catfish, which I didn't know anything about them, because in the Bible it didn't tell you what foods to specifically eat, just the ones not to. And by me not knowing, which I repented of, I just stopped doing it, and I changed my whole lifestyle. I don't eat anything. I don't buy no hot food. Everything that I make from scratch myself. I cook everything except for the abominational foods. I lost weight from not eating the bread and so much the sweets and carrying on. Oh, I was a mess. I was truly a mess, and I was not ready. I wasn't ready for the Most High to actually let me see the truth until now, on His terms and His time. I thought I was ready back then when I kept pleading and begging and asking for Him to pour His Spirit out on me, but I wasn't. I thought, but I wasn't. But now He sees that I'm ready. I continue to feed His sheep as He asks. I don't go a day without doing it.
At this point, I asked Charlene about the upcoming spring feasts and what she planned to do to observe them. It was going to be her first time celebrating Passover, or any feast for that matter.
You looking forward to the feast coming up, and are you preparing for those?
Yes. I want to learn how to do it. I don't know how to do it yet. It'll be my first one. It'll be my first anything coming up.
Gotcha. These feasts, some people, they're like modern day Pharisees and scribes. They basically force the people to do all kinds of things that are not commanded. And they make this whole thing burdensome. And they have a whole curriculum and a whole agenda for the day where there's preaching and you have to pay money to get on the bus or drive somewhere far, stay at a hotel and join these people. And then it's like a whole itinerary, you know, for the whole entire day. Scripture breaks down, you know, a little bit of what we used to do, but we can't do the things that we used to do anymore because we're in captivity. There's no way we can go to Jerusalem as a people. And, you know, so basically Passover, unleavened bread, all these feasts are going to look different from household to household because, you know, we're going to do it to the best of our ability, but there is no central outlet where Yah has allowed us to know exactly what He wants us to do. So we kind of interpret what has been done and we kind of put the modern day flavor on it, as well as us being in captivity with that understanding. So we do it to the best of our ability. All right. There's nobody who can do this perfectly. So understand that. Just do it to the best of your ability according to your understanding, and don't feel chastised because you're not doing it like this camp or that assembly or.
I don't follow them because when I see them, like, when they show up on YouTube, like the, what it's called, IUCV or whatever it's called, camp, they're cursing people out when they're on the street, giving out the knowledge. They are literally cursing people out. You don't curse people out because they don't want to listen to you. Yeshua don't curse. He didn't curse.
That's right.
So they made me angry. You know, I don't watch them because they're another group that's leading people blindly. They're leading people blindly as well. And I know they are.
What are some of the things you do right now while you're in this light to basically commune with Yah? What do you do?
I sit and I think. I clear my mind. And I will pick up the book and I will go to a certain scripture, and right there, the spirit talks to me. It talks to me, and I try to write everything down, because if I don't write it down, I'm gonna forget it. Immediately, I'll forget it. So I write things down. I have a book full of sayings. And I'm alone. I live alone, so I have all the time in the world to hear him speak clearly to me. He comes to me in dreams, like messengers in dreams. That's basically what I do. I just sit and hear. If it's not through him, it's through a messenger. It's by people. You know, when I go outside and they look at me and they say, you know, God has blessed you. And I said, oh, really? And they go, yes, he did. And so I said, well, thank you. You know, I said, it's not me. It's not me you're looking at.
Give credit where credit is due.
Yes. And I just sit really and just pay attention. I pay attention. I look outside. I look to the sky. I talk to him all day long, all day. Even while I'm sitting here talking with you, I had asked him, I said, please, please, y'all, give me the voice to speak. He says, oh, sit down and stop being so nervous.
Well, he is certainly giving you a voice today. That is no question. You have me basically on the edge of my seat, and I'm sure our listeners will be too, so.
I can tell you some stories that I can look back over now and see that it was the Most High and his angels guiding over me, because I have been through some things that I sit and I shake my head at.
All right. Mm-hmm. Walk us through one of those.
All right. One of my stories is I was driving and I got lost and I pulled over to the side of the road. And once I found, you know, got the right directions again through the phone, the GPS, because, you know, they will get you lost and they will find you back to your destination. So I found myself going back to where I'm supposed to be. After I pulled off to the side of the road, now, mind you, I looked from side to side to see if any cars was coming because I had to do a U-turn. As I'm getting ready to do this U-turn, here come this big old tractor trailer blowing his horn at me like, oh my gosh. And I look, I'm head on with this from the side. He was going to tear me up, but I don't know. Something mashed on the gas pedal and spun me out really fast.
That was actually the end of that story, and she launched into another one.
And another time, I was in a car accident with my daughter, my oldest daughter, and my grandson. We're coming back from the store. Now, mind you, we're going up this hill. I'm doing no more than 10 because I know uphill you can't go fast. And then it was raining. So as we're going up, all of a sudden my tire just started going anywhere it wanted to go. I'm trying to control the car to make the car not go forward, so to just straighten up. Something said, let go. And I let go of the wheel, and the wheel took and turned, and we went down into the ravine backwards. Nobody was hurt. The car was not hurt. Anything. You're talking about somebody who was scared? Me.
So you've been through, I mean, this is basically testing your faith and showing forth that you actually believe, and you know you serve a miraculous creator.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I know it. And can't nobody change my mind. I don't care what anyone says. You cannot tell me that there is no higher power. I don't go by no Big Bang Theory or anything else they have going on. Mm-mm. I'm woke. I see it. Then you can't change my mind. I have had people call me. This guy, he calls me every after Shabbat. He calls me and he tests me more and more and more and tells me, well, my uncle said, my cousin said, well, guess what? You keep following after your cousin because you're following after man and I'm going to follow after the Most High. That's what I do. So
let me ask you, what advice do you have for people who, like you, they feel alone, they are alone, probably live alone, and are isolated because they serve a creator in a way that other people around them cannot understand, because they're basically blind. And that's that spiritual, supernatural blindness that they're experiencing is from Yah. So there's nothing you can do or say to wake them up.
No.
What advice do you have for people who are in that, in your shoes right now?
My advice to those that's in my shoes is to keep going. Don't cease from doing whatever it is you're doing. You know that in your heart and in your mind, you are serving the Most High because we was made by Him, for Him, and Him alone. You are serving His purpose, and whatever the purpose that you are serving for Him, you keep going. No matter what, you keep going. Yeah, you might want to go and cry and wish for someone to be there with you while you're walking in His truth. But if that does not happen, don't give up. Keep going. Keep going and hold fast on to Yah's unchanging hand because He does not change. You know this truth. Keep walking. Don't give up. Hold on and don't give up.
Well said. You know, I like to bring up Elijah in circumstances like that. You know, he felt like he was the only prophet who would not turn and started serving Baal, you know, and Yah have 7,000 others who haven't bowed in there. You just haven't met them.
Yeah.
You know, and yes, people
haven't met them.
Yeah, we're not privileged to always know and bump into people who are of like mind or who've woken up, you know. So it's a privilege to actually be able to speak to people on the phone and actually get their testimony. And that's why I want this to go out to the four corners, because people feel like they're the only ones going through this stuff. And they're not, you know.
Yes, I understand that. I understand that very well, you know, because he has told me, you know, the Spirit has told me, you're not alone. You're not by yourself. You just feel like you are. And don't worry about it. Your reward is coming, you know, so I don't worry. I don't worry. I used to stress out a lot over the simplest little thing. Now, I don't stress out about nothing because you know why? I have a higher power that's looking out for me because I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, serve Him and serve Him alone.
You sound like you have a lifetime of wisdom that you've gleaned from somewhere. Because everything you're saying is going down like honey and molasses.
Thank you. I don't know. I think I was given that the wisdom because, like I said, my mother and my father said after I came back from the hospital, I'm strange. I'm different. So maybe that's what it is. Maybe I had to humble myself. You know, sit down and listen and hear what Yah is trying to tell me. You know, they say the Spirit, but I'm going to go with Yah. It's trying to tell me. You know, maybe He's trying to tell you something. Sit down. I just had to find myself, you know, my solitude. Because in my home, everywhere I go, it's peace in here. You know, I can sit anywhere and feel the presence of the Most High. So that's what I do. I just sit here, go through these scriptures. I read this Bible back and forth, but I didn't understand it. But now as I go along, each time I go and read something, I'd be like, so that's what that means. Because I didn't know. I kid you not. I didn't know. I had read this Bible in a year. In a year's time, that's how long it had took me, in a year's time to get it. So now when I go back over it, front to back, back to front, I learn something new every day. Every day the passage is saying something different. That's not what that says. Did you see what that said right there? It said they cried unto them.
That's what I experience. Every time I read it, it's like something new pops out you didn't see before. He adds to the knowledge that you had already. You go to another script and it just confirms something else you read. That's the beauty of how it's written. It could not have been written by some mortal mind. We're not that deep.
No, we're not. No, we're not. No, we are not. And have you ever, let me put it this way, woke up and immediately you go straight to your Bible and the passage is right there, what you're thinking in your mind, you know, and then you wake up and you go to it and there it is?
I've had that happen very seldom. Something like that has only happened seldom in my life. What usually happens is I'll wake up and I'll remember a script. And it'll automatically make sense to me. Like something I didn't understand before, the script will come back in my head and it'll be like, ah, boom. And then I'll go and I'll look it up and then, you know, it'll be confirmed. So that's happened. But yeah, what you're saying only happened like maybe 3 times in my life, honestly.
No, it happens to me like on a regular. Like,
wow.
If I wake, yes, on a regular, I can wake up, even if I'm asleep and something stays on my mind, I wake up and start writing a whole passage. I just write 2 pages from that one thing. And then I can't put it all on my social media at one time because they seem to get a little bored. So what I basically do is I split it up. I split it up into three sermons or however I want it to go. But it all leading to the Most High and how He is working through me. I tell Him I'm not Islamic. I'm not Baptist or anything. I am just a vessel being used by the Most High. That's what I tell them. So don't look at me as I'm Jehovah's Witness or anything like my cousin wrote and told me. Oh, I just noticed you're Jehovah's Witness. What? Jehovah don't have a witness, first of all. Because Jehovah is no such thing. These are all made up names. Everything. This past year with that Christmas thing that, you know, my kids got going on, I'm trying to get them to let it go. They keep saying, well, yeah, mommy, you know, it's easy for you because you don't have nobody, you know, you don't got no kids. We're all grown. Yes, fine and dandy. I do not. And I'm trying to get you to see the same thing who you're serving. Who are you serving? You're serving the idols of the world, or you want to serve the Most High? They said, we're going to get it, but not on your time. We're going to get it on our time. I said, okay.
You know, time may be running out. They have no idea.
That's what I try to tell them. And then my youngest daughter, the one that's coming over for dinner, when I start talking that, she tells me immediately, okay, Ma, I don't want to hear it. And that's when I got to get up and go in my room and cry, because you don't want to hear what the Most High is telling me to tell you. You don't want to hear it. I go in my room and I cry. I'm a cry baby. I kid you not. I just ask the Most High not to let me cry, you know, because I am a cry baby.
Well, crying is good because, you know, otherwise a poison bottles up inside you. So it's good to let that stuff out, you know, instead of holding on to it. That's good. Yeah. He gave us that release, you know.
Yes. Yes, he did. And I cry a lot. I cry to him. I can sit here at this table and just say, y'all look up at the sky and talk to him. I say, y'all, thank you. Thank you for giving me insight, seeing things through your perspective. Wondering, you know, not wondering, I see why you are coming through here to do what you're going to do, because we have gone wayward and the wicked has taken over.
That's not an exaggeration at all, man.
No, that's not an exaggeration. And then I cry. I cry because I didn't know the truth back then. But now that I know, I repent of it. I ask for forgiveness for all of Israel and our forefathers too, you know, because if we don't ask for forgiveness for them as well as ourselves, we're not doing anything. We're not doing anything.
Very true. I mean, and that's the hallmark. He actually taught us to do that. We shouldn't be just be praying mm-hmm. for ourselves. We should pray for our fellow, you know, those who are wandering astray and things of that nature. And even those who are actually not astray, but are struggling and being beset on all sides by the enemy. We have to pray for them to have strength too.
So, we have to pray for them too. Yeah. We have to pray. Now, my thing is this. Let me ask you a question. It says, he says, don't pray for the world. What does that mean? Don't pray for the world in general, like the world, you know, like what's going on in it or the people.
Well, let's just make this very clear, right? Christianity looks at what's called the New Testament very differently from Hebrew Israelites and those mm-hmm. who are in this walk and in this path. Our foundation is mm-hmm. Torah. When Yeshua mm-hmm. came, he taught Torah. He lived according to Torah and he embraced Torah. And all he quoted was script. Yeah. He never quoted anything called the New Testament because he was living what that was. He was quoting nothing but Genesis to Malachi. And he basically said that he was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He was sent to Israelites. That's who he was sent to. That was his whole mission. So when he talks about the world, he's talking about the Caesars, the Romans, the Greeks, all the nations that brought all this mess on our people and on the worldwide, you know, community. When he says the world, he's talking about everybody outside of his nation. That's essentially it.
Okay.
There's no other rhyme or reason for that. And he did not die for the world. He died for the world of Israel. That's it.
In Ezekiel 39, verse 7, Yah refers to himself as the pure one in Israel. Similarly, in Isaiah 45, verse 11, he is the pure one of Israel. That is the nation he has chosen and the one with which he identifies. In verse 17 of Isaiah 45, Yah states, "But Israel is saved by Yah with everlasting salvation. You shall not be put to shame or confounded to all eternity." Israel is to be saved by Yah, not the world of nations as they are. The only way the world of nations will be saved is by joining themselves to Israel, as prophesied in Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, and other passages. Matthew 10, verses 5 to 6 also points out the field of Yeshua's mission.
We are our own world, and that's what he died for. And when Israel is actually reformed and brought back to the fore and have their autonomy again, the rest of mm-hmm. the world that he says not to pray for, they must join to Israel. Because Yah is not saving the world. He's only saving Israel. So if you want to be saved, you have to join Israel, period.
You have to join in. They have to cling on.
That's right. That's the only way to make it.
Because that's what they're going to do. They're going to cling on, you know.
That's right.
And in order for them to join in, they have to follow the rules or get kicked out.
That's right. When you read the script, it says that Yeshua himself is the light onto the Gentiles. Well, do you know the mm-hmm. same exact language is used for Israel? It mm-hmm. says that Yeshua is a chief cornerstone, but it says that Israel is a burdensome stone. So it's one and the same. You see, they're the body. He's the head. They're one.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So when you're joining yourself to Yeshua, you can only join him through Israel. When you're joining mm-hmm. Israel, you're joining to Yeshua. They're one and the same. We read in the script that it says that he shall rule with a rod of iron.
Yeah.
He says himself in Revelation, anyone who overcomes will rule with a rod of iron. So Israel, anybody in Israel, Israel itself will be ruling in the 1,000 years with a rod of iron because they will administrate his government. He's not going to do it personally. He's going to it's like the president doing everything. The president has people doing all kinds. He has so many employees. It's ridiculous. Yeshua mm-hmm. will not have to lift a finger in the kingdom. He will have mm-hmm. administrators. A king doesn't do everything. A king basically has, you know, administrators doing everything. He has a military. Mm-hmm. He has governors. He has, you know, prefects and, you know, all kinds of stuff. So all he has mm-hmm. to do is speak and it will be done.
And it will be done.
Mm-hmm.
And it will be done.
Our conversation shifted to the people in her life who refused to listen to her words of admonition, in which she cautioned them to turn to Yah and embrace truth.
They don't listen. They talk about, oh, go on, get out of here with that mess, girl. They so blind. They are so blind. And like you said, still in the Christianity world, giving up tithes, giving up their money like that. Mm-mm.
Yep. This is not outside of Yah's plan. This is exactly as he planned it.
As he planned it.
The supernatural blindness, he said that this would happen. He says, I will blind their eyes because they would not listen to me. He says, he promised this.
I can't do not. my daughter is a fine example. She will shush me up in a minute. But I keep going. You know, sometimes I shut up and just dust my feet off and don't say nothing else to her, like I told her. I said, the next time you shush me up, I'm not going to say anything else to you about Yah. You're going to have to learn on your own. Search and seek and find your own salvation, and with fear and trembling, you do that. Because what I'm trying to tell you, learning from my experience, you contradicting everything that I'm saying. So I have to let her, you know, feed her from a long-handled spoon.
Yeah, and that is wise, and that is of the spirit, because I can't sugarcoat it. I can't say it in any easy, nice way. Mm-hmm. Your family that you think is your family is not your family.
It's not. I know they're not.
Okay. They might look like you. They might have come from your womb. That's not your family. Your family will be people who you'll be looking at for eternity. And the ones who are not there, you won't even remember them. So
that's another thing I told them. I told them, y'all gonna have to learn to let go of the feelings y'all have over the dead, because they're gone.
Yep.
They don't even recognize, and they won't even know you.
That's right. That's right.
But still, they're getting the flesh, they're getting the tattoos and the markings on it. Clearly says, do not get any markings.
Yes. See, that's what Christianity does. They throw out what is called the Old Testament. And so that means Torah, all the laws, the Ten Commandments, everything. That goes. All that stays is this sugar-coated love everybody. Everybody's equal. Just free love, you know. It's like,
you can do anything you want to do. I wrote something about that, too. The laws aren't done away with, you know. I get some people to agree. You know, the ones that searching, and like you said, that is lost and searching to find themselves. But I do it because I was told to do it, not to glorifying myself and not to glorify no one else. I do it because the Most High says to do it, and I glorify Him while I'm doing it.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Absolutely.
I make sure that this is not my word, because had not I been in this walk, I wouldn't be doing this, and I know I wouldn't.
Following our interview, Charlene and I said our farewells, and I was grateful for her participation. This is what this walk is about. No one said it's a perfect walk. It's actually going to look ugly at times, and certainly messy. But we do what we can to please the Most High, and walk according to His will, within the parameters of a covenant law. This is how we become fruit bearers. We hope that you enjoyed this podcast, which is part of a limited series. Be sure to visit our website, kingdompurpose.org, for more of our presentations. Shalom.